This is KJ Live. With Chris Johnson. And Chris is having conversations with influencers in the sports world and entertainment industry. Now here's Chris Johnson.
You're now tuned in to KJ Live. Today's guest on the show is a four-time WNBA All-Star. She's a 2016 WNBA champion and considered one of the greatest players in the history of women's basketball. She is currently partnered with the African American Sports and Entertainment Group, and together they focus their efforts on bringing a WNBA franchise to the city of Oakland. It is my great honor to welcome Alana Beard to the show.
Hi, KJ.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for reaching out to get me on.
Absolutely. I mean, once I read about what you're doing, it was fascinating for a lot of reasons, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but I really want to hear all about what you're doing. But something I wanted to ask you, when you shut it down, when you retired, 2020, what made you decide to walk away from the game?
I was ready, right? I think I was in a position that not a lot of athletes are in towards the end of their career. I was fortunate to be able to make that decision, and I was ready to make that decision. I was craving something new. I was craving the transition to the business world. And on top of that, you know, I've always been that athlete that never wanted to cheat the game. Mm. Right. And to me, if my body wasn't producing the way that I needed it to or wanted it to, considering the amount of work that I put in on a daily basis,
right,
it didn't make the game fun for me anymore. And to add to that, there are only 144 spots in the WNBA. And I knew that I could stay in that league for as long as I wanted to stay in that league because of what I brought to any locker room. In fact, when I, you know, announced that I was retiring, which was a mistake because I just wanted to just roll on out. Coaches were reaching out to me to come on board. And I was like, no, I'm done. And I've always been big on mentoring. And I knew that if I had stayed, I was taking up another position and taking that away from young women who have dreamt for years upon years of being in the WNBA.
Absolutely. You touched on your desire to mentor. A lot of times in professional athletics, you see it, but you don't hear about enough stories about the pros mentoring. I watched some of a video of you and Marissa Coleman,
yeah.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys actually, you co-owned a restaurant together. Talk a little bit about that partnership, how that developed and your role in that relationship.
So Marissa and I met when I was playing in Washington for the Washington Mystics. I was her vet. She was my rookie. Right. And, you know, I've always been that individual to where I don't speak very much. I don't force anything on you. If you come to me and if you want to know certain things, I'm going to take the time to explain it to you. But more than anything, I lead by example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Marissa Coleman saw sort of my approach to sort of the game, but also saw my approach to, you know, life outside of the court. And we would have many, many conversations about what's the next step. Even at, you know, even 4 and 5 years in, we would still have those conversations. And so she knew that I had interests of one day being a franchisee because I had this grand plan of building out a portfolio of franchises and mm-hmm. operating it, right? But thank God a mentor of mine kind of like, you know, encouraged me to sort of dig into the venture capital space. But Marissa, you know, she was always there, always digging in, always interested in what I was doing. And I was always providing information. And then eventually our relationship progressed to the point to where we had enough confidence and trust in each other that we decided to move forward, you know, from a business perspective. But that opportunity came about because Marissa Coleman's family had a family friend who had owned, my goodness, at least 40 franchises from Domino's Pizza to Jersey Mike's. And so he literally took us underneath his wing and took us through the process step by step by step to teach us the process of building out a franchise. And Marissa Coleman and I were all over it. We're very like-minded in terms of how we see ourselves transitioning and living life beyond the game.
That is some very valuable experience, a very very good blessing to have someone walk you through those particular ropes. Having a little bit of business background myself and been involved in the franchising, there's so much I wish we would have did differently in those first 3 months. Okay, that just kind of, you know, changes the game for you. But but knowing those things and getting that information is a valuable experience. Now, how early in your WNBA career did life after basketball become sort of the priority for you to start strategically setting it up? And then how early was it that you have that business, that thirst for the business side of things? Was it as a graduate from Duke, or did it start earlier than that? Or you know?
No, it started in high school, right? And it simply started because, you know, I would leave the gym after practicing for hours after hours, and I would go straight to Smoothie King. And so I was spending all my money at a Smoothie King. And in my mind, why would I spend all my money when I can just own one? And then on top of loving Smoothie King, I found out that the headquarters was in New Orleans. Right. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to own hundreds of Smoothie Kings. Right. And so that was something that started in high school. And I've always had that in mind. In fact, if you go back to sort of a few interviews that I maybe did in college, I think it was like our Duke media guide or something. They asked me like, who do I admire? Who do I want to be? I was like, I want to be the second richest African-American woman behind Oprah Winfrey. I don't know why I didn't say the first, but I just said behind Oprah Winfrey because she was the standard, right?
So
I've always been in that mindset. So with franchising, I followed that trend through college, right? And then I got to the professionals. We started having more and more time on our hands, and I kept following that trend. And then I didn't have a problem connecting with people, right? If I wasn't that athlete that walked around with a big head and an ego, right? If someone approached me, I'm extremely approachable. I'm going to have a conversation with you. We're all human, right? And you'll be surprised at how many connections you make just by sitting at a coffee shop and engaging with people instead of being so consumed in your own world that you don't see the life that's around you. So I think that was how I kind of started. You know, developing sort of the business acumen, right? But I can admit that when I was injured in 2010, when the doctors told me I had a 10% chance of returning to the court at an elite level, I became hyper-focused on preparing for life after basketball, to where I was like, I was reaching out to people. I actually reached out to this one guy. He was the founder of a cybersecurity company in Washington. And I was like, can we meet up at Starbucks once a week for you to give me many lessons in business? The dude was like, yeah, we can do that. So for over a year, every week, I would meet up at Starbucks with this guy for like 2 or 3 hours a day and just sit there and go through my own MBA, right?
Because
I'm the type of person that I learn by doing, right? And having someone sort of just walk me through it step by step, I get it like just like that, like with ease. And so that was kind of my first maybe introduction into just really understanding what mentors are, right? Yeah. I think a lot of people can have people in their lives and they can say that they have mentors, but how you engage with that mentor is super important, right? Because it's you to dictate the journey that you want.
Absolutely. And that's something, and that's something that as basketball athletes, I won't say basketball players, I won't just generalize like that, but as athletes, sometimes we take for granted is that the relationship, how to deal, how to behave with a mentor, how to maintain and cultivate. That's, I think more of those type of classes need to be taught or seminars or whatever, but the next generation definitely needs to understand that. But staying on that topic. Now, when did you, as a player, first start to think, okay, did you think about being an owner of a franchise even back then? So when was that day or when was that moment that you had that thought?
I don't know that I can put like a moment on it. Maybe it was when I was injured, came back after 2 years of being off the court, and the Washington Mystics kind of said, yeah, you're not going to be good anymore, so we're not going to re-sign you, right? Maybe. I don't know. That was my first lesson in business. And, you know, I'm probably going to go off the rails here, but I always bring LeBron James into this conversation because I respect him for what he did, right? And when he made the decision to go from Cleveland to Miami. I didn't necessarily like how he did it and announced it, but I respected it because LeBron James was probably one of the first athletes to sort of do to an organization what organizations kind of do to athletes all the time. Like when they can't, when you can't do anything for that organization anymore, it's business.
Oh yeah.
Loyalty means nothing, right? And so LeBron was that athlete that took control of his own journey, right? And he made that decision, you know what? Cleveland isn't ready for me just yet. I'm going to go to Miami. I'm going to build up my brand, take control of my brand, win some championships, and then I'll come back to my hometown and win it for you when I'm grown. Right. So, you know, and that's what I respect. So I think that the thought of like becoming an owner has always been in my mind, whether it was a WNBA team, an NBA team, an NFL team, like nothing is off limits, right? The WNBA, why wouldn't I want to do this when I have the opportunity to do it, right?
Were there inspirations that you drew upon, Black women, women in general, that you said, hey, I look to this person as someone that inspires me to do better and achieve the highest of heights?
Oprah Winfrey.
That's a good one.
Like, it's as simple as that. It's Oprah Winfrey. I think Oprah Winfrey is every Black girl's role model. Or at least in my generation, it was, right? You saw her just carry herself with such grace. I don't know. I was intrigued. I was intrigued early on. I'm still intrigued.
When they say that representation matters, what does that phrase mean to you personally?
It means a ton. You got to see it in order to believe it, right? When I was, you know, had aspirations of playing in the NBA because I didn't have the WNBA to look up to. That's what it means. That was my meaning of having representation. I wanted to be the next Reggie Miller. The WNBA started. I wanted to be the next Cynthia Cooper.
Yep.
So it means a ton, right? So what the choices that I make on this journey, when I tell you that me is not at the center of any of it, I have a bigger vision and I have a bigger purpose on this earth, right? To sort of create and lay a foundation or lay a path, just as those that laid that path for me before. Like, I have that responsibility and I don't take it lightly. So when I pursue these opportunities, whether it's in the venture capital space, whether it's owning a franchise or now, you know, leading a group to sort of bring a team to Oakland, it's about that generation that's coming behind me to be able to see that this is attainable, that this is possible if you really want it. It's cliche, but it's true.
No, and honestly, a lot of the things that people call cliche are some of the most valuable lessons.
Yeah.
If we really listen to it and really hold on to those words, we learn something from it.
Yeah.
And that brings me to today, your involvement with the African American Sports and Entertainment Group and their push to bring a WNBA franchise to the city of Oakland. How did you get involved with them?
Right. Doing my homework.
So you made this happen yourself.
Yeah,
you reached out to the people.
Just doing my homework, right? Again, just as I, you know, it goes back to when I was in high school, I followed the trend with franchising, eventually owned my own franchise. Same thing here, right? Aspirations. If I were to show you my whiteboard, you would see an org chart where I have buckets of what I want to do. And they're not dreams. This is what I want to do. And so I followed the trend. I think the announcement came out maybe in June of 2021 that they were pursuing ownership. And I had my agents do the due diligence, right? I asked them to get me the contacts. And I reached out to Ray Bobbitt cold. And I sort of, you know, provided a little information of myself through email. And within an hour, he responded. And so the synergies were there. We had tons and tons of conversations just to understand if this made sense. I'm big on vibes, and it feels right. It feels good. It felt good. Obviously, with the other due diligence that's needed, this felt good, right? Their intent is there for the right thing.
There potentially would be some roadblocks and challenges along this road. How do you envision sort of the process to go? Like, could you, like, because I know you can't really talk about too much about the particulars of it, but for the stuff you can talk about, what is sort of the strategic roadmap to owning a WNBA franchise, if you will.
Yeah, no, it's about getting the community to support you, one. Two, you know what? I back up. The first thing is about making sure that you have a place to host the team. Mm-hmm. AASCG has already done that, right? They've laid that foundation. They have secured a lease agreement with Oakland Arena. So that's there. Mm-hmm. The second is money. Mm-hmm. That's there, right? Mm-hmm. And the third, I think everyone needs to understand, because you have to manage these expectations. When you see the headlines, it's like, oh, we're going to get a team in Oakland. No, this is a process. I compare this to a political campaign, right? Now we have to make the push to convince not only the community, but also the WNBA and the owners within the WNBA that Oakland is a viable market. So it's a ton of work, but I think that's the one thing that attracts me more than anything. Not that I can, you know, sort of position myself to sort of be a catalyst for change at the league level, but the process of it all, that is the most intriguing thing to me, right? Because there are going to be challenges, there are going to be roadblocks, but we'll figure out how to get around them or get through them. And I think the other hard part to this is that we can do all of this work, and the league is making that decision.
Yeah. Oh, so the decision ultimately rests with the other owners to vote on this?
Absolutely. The league. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. So, you know, I looked up all the information that I could on the group, and I read a ton of letters of recommendation from all over the community, from every corner of the community, which is super impressive. I've actually reached out and talked to some folks in Oakland. They're extremely excited about it. They feel like this is something that definitely will go in Oakland, in particular because of how they get down in Oakland. And that's what, I mean, I'm just saying, that is just what people have to understand. Like, Oakland moves in a different way. Berkeley moves kind of in a different speed than everybody else. And they really don't really care about what the outside world thinks of them, but they're going to get behind a team and a franchise to support them. Bringing me to my next question. What do you want the identity of this organization? Is there a name for the organization? And what do you want the identity for the organization to be?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into sort of the name. I think I've mentioned this, and I will always mention it. It's about being authentic to who I am as an individual, but more importantly, being authentic to who Oakland is. Mm-hmm. That's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get more simple.
No.
Final question for you, Elena. I'm a part of the global basketball community is what I call it. So it doesn't matter what level you played on. If you hoop, you love the game, then you're part of the community. What can the global basketball community do to help bridge the gap surrounding the inequities in not only women's professional basketball, but NCAA basketball,
yeah,
high school on down? What can we do as a global community to bridge that gap?
Show up, right? Show up and respect what we do as women athletes. Understand that just because our counterparts are making millions and millions of more dollars than we are, it doesn't negate the amount of work we put into our craft and perfecting it. It's all the same. It's all the same. Right. And that's what we have to get people to sort of understand. It's not about tearing someone else down. It's about lifting those around you up. So if there's anything the global sports community can do, it's just
sports.
Show up, be positive, support, because at some point you're going to have a daughter and you're going to want your daughter to play sports. And your daughter may be one of those elite individuals that make it to the professional level, and you're going to want people to support them as well. So just be kind, be nice,
yeah.
Just do good, be a good person, right? I can't imagine it being that hard.
Well said, well said. Elena,
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck.
Thank
in your push to bring that professional basketball franchise. If anything that I could do to help, please let me know. I don't know if there's anything I could do, but if there's anything I could do, please let me know, because this is something I definitely want to get behind.
Thank you.
You have my full support upon. Thank you so much for joining KJ Live, ladies and gentlemen, Elena Beard.
Thank you, KJ. This was a pleasure.